Srila Prabhupada ki, Sivai Bhava ki, Ramtaraj, Srimad, Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj, Maharaj ki, Jainitai Gopurima. So, any feedback from the exam from last month?
The questions were very clear. Mm. I found the exam the best form of the question. Oh. You didn't have doubts for two guys, it was not two guys.
Wasn't it easy?
Before that was, at least for me, some questions, it was really good. No failure, any question was easy. I found it
good. Any other feedback?
One question about the mode of goodness. You asked about the mode of goodness, but you couldn't find much comments about that. Is that true? Like only one line of the mode of goodness. Just we go generally, you know, about the mode of discussing in the class.
The section contained points on the mode of goodness. You just had to understand the section. If you understand then those chapters, then there is actually many points that you want to be looking at. There's some things which are there. But if you understand the section, I can't say too much because some devotees haven't done the exam. So I don't want to make it too easy for them.
Okay.
Any other points? So, those devotees who didn't do the exam, then if you can work out a time to do it amongst each other, if you can organise, try to do it together if you can, like that, it's more easy. So. There's some other devotees that haven't done it either, so try to. So, on the previous class, last Tuesday, then we discussed the beginning of chapter 29, verses 1 to 10, and it was described by Kapila Muni, there are symptoms of devotional service under the three modes of material nature. So this is a very interesting topic, very interesting section, and we had an interesting discussion on that section. And this will be, you'll be examined on this in the final exam for the year. We will finish Canto 3 this year, okay. And we may even finish it ahead of time, so we may even have a few classes at the end on something topical like Madhurya Kanambini or something like that. We may have some extra time, so if we have extra time then we can discuss some other things in more time. So Kapila Muni describes symptoms of devotional service in the mode of ignorance. What are some symptoms of devotional service in the mode of ignorance? Someone who is angry, who is proud, who is envious, who is angry, and who is a separatist of that. So these qualities, one has to study the purports here, and one has to analyze within one's own heart if one is affected by these lower modes in one's devotional service. Then what about in the mode of passion? What are some of the symptoms?
Also separatist,
yeah.
Vanic mentality.
Yeah. Must be material motives.
Using devotion for fame.
Using
devotion for fame. Yeah. Any other
qualities? For profit, adoration, distinction. Yeah, these subtle things which are there. So one has to analyze one's devotional service. What are our motives? Are we affected by the modes of material nature? On studying this section, I saw that I was affected by the mode of passion in my devotional service. So we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to look very deep within our hearts and see what our conditioning is and what our attachments are in devotional service. You cannot transcend the modes unless you realize you are affected by the modes. Now, if you're not honest with yourself and sincere in your devotional service, you can't clear the contamination from the heart. So you have to understand, you have to be introspective, and you have to study these sections and see what are the symptoms which are mentioned, and do I have these symptoms? Like that. And then what are the symptoms in the mode of goodness? Yes, one is peaceful, tolerant, detached.
What
is the result of the activities? Of the result of the
activities, yeah. Knowledge,
yeah. So, someone is in the mode of goodness, they can also become attached. It is not the completely liberated platform, because one may be attached to performing devotional service, but according to one's conditioned nature. In other words, one thinks I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Grihastha. So you may be very dutiful, and you may do all the activities very nicely, and you may follow Dharma nicely and do devotional service nicely, but still you're attached. And you cannot become liberated from this world if you're attached. So that is a symptom of the mode of goodness. It conditions one to happiness and knowledge. One feels a sense of liberation, but still one can become attached to the material world, doing devotional service in the material world.
Can this be compared to the neophyte devotee or the Madhyama Adhikari or the Uttamadhikari, these patients?
No.
But they're all devotees, they're performing devotional service, right? Mm-hmm. So is it possible to compare it in that way?
Not really. Not Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama. It's not like that. It's a different categorization. Like that.
What does it mean, like,
the meaning of devotional service is actually transcendental, and because I missed the last one, I'm not a big fan of it. Then, it is that the doer is in the mode, because devotional service is transcendental, the giver mode of material service. Yeah, the service, but it's the consciousness while doing the service. The service itself is transcendental. Just like you offer a flower to Krishna, that is transcendental. The fact that you're offering it to Krishna, right? Right? So the service is transcendental, the personality is transcendental, even you are transcendental, but your consciousness is affected.
So is Prabhupada talking about devotees who are aware that, it should be in the pure goodness, that any service that you offer to Krishna should be in pure goodness, but they have that awareness, but they are struggling with their anarthas? Is that what is being talked about, or is this being talked about people who actually come to Krishna with that motive that I want to get fame and distinction, or I want popularity? Is that being talked about, or is being talked about regular devotees who know that the goal
is... No, we know what the goal is, but we're still affected by the modes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the goal is, but you have to analyze the symptoms and see, do we have any of these symptoms in our heart?
Mm-hmm.
Are we affected by these things in the consciousness? Now, when I read through that, I can see in the mode of passion, I can see I have these qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore I'm not liberated, and I have to work much harder in order to try to become free from this conditioning. Contamination in the consciousness from the morals. Like that.
Prabhupada is referring to both the kinds of devotees actually. In one of the purports, Prabhupada is talking about the Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, which is not the four types of people who approach. But Prabhupada is also talking about maybe people who are practicing devotees, because Prabhupada uses the word in the verse 8. He's saying that one who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. He's not talking about people who don't know him.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It can be both. Sorry, 2 minutes I'll finish.
So, are you talking about the anartha devotee stage over here? Like, these are all our anarthas? That is what we have to analyze this question.
Yeah, they're types of kind of like an artist.
Because from a previous condition, somebody may have a tendency to
be envious of others, or somebody's nature may be to become angry very fast. So if those are anarthas in that person, no? So
Yeah, you can say it like the modes give rise to the anarthas. And it's because of the consciousness is affected by the modes that the anarthas are present. So then some of the symptoms of the modes, like pride or anger, like then they are anarthas.
Mm-hmm.
Are they born from the contamination of the consciousness with the modes? Is that clear?
In Madhurya Kandamani also, Prabhu, these stages are given, the Ganatarala, then Utsahamayi, and...
That's a very deep analysis of the levels of bhakti and anatta nivritti and all those things like that. We may go through those things at the end of the year. If we have time, we may go through them again.
The influence is that my bhakti is so nice.
Yeah. Krishna says in the Gita that they struggle for supremacy.
Yeah.
So sometimes you may overcome the tendency, but then other times, sometimes you can control your anger, but then other times you can't control your anger and like that.
Srila Prabhupada also said, persons of Gurkha, those who are not good character should be avoided. Vaishnavas. Not a good character should be.
Yeah, it's an important point that Prabhupada made. He said in the purport to the description of devotional service and the mode of ignorance, Prabhupada said that even if one is a devotee, but if he has bad qualities, one should avoid that devotee.
Mm-hmm.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this comment. So if someone, they may be a devotee, but if there's too many bad qualities there, then it says you should respect that person, but you should not associate with that person.
Okay. I was just reading this in the tram today. When I got on the tram stop, I was exactly at that point what Prabhuji is mentioning. The first thought is that people should avoid me first. Vaishnava started avoiding me because also reason I got back to this. So how to differentiate that?
No, but we have to be introspective, because if the guru or if the Vaishnavas are avoiding us, then they're doing that is their mercy. Because they're showing us that we have qualities that we have to work on. So sometimes they will avoid us purposely or ignore us purposely to try to make us aware that we have certain things that we have to work upon. Like that. So that's their mercy, if they do like that. So if they are doing like that, then we have to become very introspective and see why. It means that there must be some discrepancy or defect in my consciousness. It's like, I remember sometimes my spiritual master would come to Melbourne for a week and then he wouldn't speak to me for 5 days. Then I had to think very deeply, so what is it that's wrong? What is wrong in my consciousness? So the guru or the Vaishnavas will behave with you like that because they're trying to show us or help us to overcome our defects. And it becomes very apparent to us. So if the devotees are avoiding us, then we should have to become very introspective. Why are they doing like that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, oh, it's all their fault. Kanishtha says it's all their fault. Kanishtha says, that's all their fault. They have problems. But the Majjhima, then he sees, what is it that's wrong in my consciousness?
Sometimes we see in ISKCON, devotees take shelter of maybe ex-Guru Maharaj, and then they feel hurt that the ex-Guru Maharaj avoided them, and then they again change their mind and take shelter of Y Guru Maharaj. Sometimes we see
why? Ex-Y?
Some other Guru Maharaj. Because my Guru Maharaj ignored me, and I think this question very much applies. And then Guru Maharaj is avoiding us, then the point which you said makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, then
whether he did anything like that.
Then if you change, that means he wasn't your guru. Because you don't change a guru. That means from within your heart you didn't have sufficient faith. Because if you have faith, then when the guru will test that faith, when the chastisements come, do you still have faith in the guru? Mm-hmm. When the guru begins to chastise you, does that mean that you stop serving guru, you stop loving your guru? No, it doesn't mean that. means you accept that as his mercy.
Because the service is contaminated by the motives here, how does Krishna basically respond to such a thing? Does he accept, for example?
He accepts, but it's like, because Krishna is a person, it's like if someone does something for you, but you can detect all these bad qualities there, then you don't really relish the exchange. It's like sometimes someone's doing something for you, but they're just doing it because they want to be noticed, or they want to, you don't relish that exchange. Like you accept, you may be gracious, and you may accept the service, but there's no real
pleasure.
Yeah, no real pleasure there. So that's how Krishna will feel also, because he's a person. So if someone is serving Krishna, but it's not the heart is not right, and the mood is not right, then Krishna, he will accept it. But he doesn't relish the exchange.
Then how does the devotee who is entering the service is contaminated by his motives, will make an advancement as a result of rendering that service?
He makes advancement because by the association of devotees, these defects will become revealed in his heart. And also, by Krishna in the heart as Chochi Guru, he may reveal things. So therefore, Krishna says, what's the Chaturvashi Shloka?
Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
How does the Vishnu
say Teshaṁ Satpavikdhanam Bhajitam Priti Program Tadami Buddhi Yagam Tam Yenama Bhagavanta? Like that. So, the Dharmi Buddhi Yogam Tam, then when there is the proper consciousness, then Krishna will reveal things. Bhashvita says in the next verse. Bhashvita means like with a lamp. He illuminates the heart. Like that. So, eventually it will happen through the devotees, through the guru, through Krishna himself. Something will be revealed. Any other points?
I was hearing one lecture by Guru Maharaj, and he was talking about a similar point that Asitarada Prabhu raised. He said that if you are performing devotional service with an idea of puja and pratishtha, then sometimes Krishna will, if he really wants to chastise you, he will actually offer you the puja and pratishtha, but he will not give you the love of Krishna Prema.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you will become a very great devotee. Everybody will say you are a senior devotee, and people will run behind you, but you will not get Krishna Prema.
Just remain on that platform as a senior devotee, but not an advanced devotee.
About
the fact of avoiding devotees here, certain anartha. So, first of all, it's very difficult to judge like that. Prabhu is asking this devotee has anartha, so we should avoid that. And secondly, Vaishnavas avoid a person without actually telling them that. This is your anartha, that is why we are avoiding. I remember once in the class you were telling that if you have felt bad about something, then you should go and talk to that Vaishnava. Or if you realize somebody else has felt bad about something that you have done, then go and ask him and apologize. So unless and until the Vaishnavas don't tell that person how, sometimes it's, for example, if someone is avoiding me, it will be very difficult for me to analyze this. Because of this anartha, am I being avoided? Or what have they observed? Sometimes it's difficult to observe in yourself. So if somebody else reveals, what should be the meaning?
Well, amongst the Madhyamadikaris, it's not such a difficult thing because the Madhyamadikaris are advanced enough to be able to say these things to each other and to accept it properly. But when you're dealing with less advanced devotees who are more heavily conditioned and covered, who are more kanishta, it's harder to say things. It's hard to actually point things out because they become very angry or very disturbed. That's their nature. So then you just have to leave them alone. You can't say anything. And leave it to them that Krishna will deal with them. Krishna will purify them with their defects. You can't say anything. Certain devotees, you can't say anything to them.
There's also the fear of Vaishnava. There's also the fear of Vaishnava, committing Vaishnava.
Yeah, because if the person won't listen to you, then you can't say anything. So then it's an offence if you begin to instruct them, if they're not going to listen, and then they'll take it the wrong way, and then it'll become very
serious.
Yeah, it becomes serious. It'll become very they'll become disturbed on their behalf. So it's better to leave them alone. like that. And you let Krishna deal with the person, if you can see. This is what I'm thinking in my mind. Like, some devotees have been around for a long time, but they just have a tendency to become angry at devotees all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, long-standing devotee, but very conditioned by the modes.
Mm-hmm.
So that person, then you just offer respect, but you don't associate closely with them. You can't say anything to them, and you have to let Krishna deal with that person.
Mm-hmm.
If new person is coming, like when everyone comes in the beginning, they have so many bad qualities and others, but those people you can help, because they're willing to listen.
Yeah.
Like that. But if someone's been around longer and they're, you know, they're unwilling to listen, then what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all.
Yeah, I thought that we went in a lecture of instruction. The nature of Vaishnava is to speak to them in confidential things. So maybe it's, I think you should speak out. How you feel. See, look, this is, you've upset me or whatever. But I feel this way, and then it's up to the FDR person to see what they feel. I mean, and if they still think that, you know, when a person has opened up to them and they still feel, look, I don't like your attitude or I don't like what it is, then they can be left alone. But it should be the nature of a Vaishnava to be open with people rather than keep everything inside and just avoid. That's because, I mean, a temple is a certain thing, certain place that you want to feel you are a part of a thing, not like avoiding each other and turning the face and going away, which is, I mean, I don't know if it's a person's nature or is it a quality of a Vaishnava to want to
I think that, like, you know, when I come to the temple, yeah, there's many, many, many devotees. Yeah, maybe 100, 200, there's many, so many devotees. There's not so many we have problems with. Like, you know, it's like Kapila Dev says, avoid someone who's very here. I can't think of many who I avoid. So it's not like a big problem, but there's some that you have to avoid. Avoid means, you know, like sometimes they come and speak to you and you say, you're respectful. Have like a nice short exchange, but you're not going to have like a long exchange because, you know, the too much disturbed in their consciousness and then, you know, like that. So you have to avoid. In generally, we don't, it's not like it's a general thing we do all the time. There's, you know, it's not that there's so many devotees who have got such bad attitudes. And if they come in the beginning and they've got some problems, then we help them. You know?
But it's good to wish each other Hare Krishna. Like,
yeah.
You know, even if you walk down the street outside, the people have a tendency, even if they don't, when they're just walking in the morning, they just say hi. Or good morning, and go. So
yeah, all those things.
Nice.
No, so avoid doesn't mean you don't say anything to them.
Exactly.
It's, Prabhupada says you respect them. Respect means you talk to them.
Mm.
But it means there's not like prolonged or intimate association. Doesn't mean you don't say anything to them.
So we want everybody to advance, not like, oh, I should advance, the others should be down or anything like that. We want everybody, it makes people happy when everybody advances.
Mm.
Okay, one person may have fallen or one person, whatever. It is, but when they come to the temple, I think you should see at least in the temple as everyone is equal rather than, I'm senior, I'm advanced, I'm this and that. And I think.
Everyone should be humble. Everyone should think. Everyone should look at their defects, not other people's defects. But Kapila Dev is just being practical, and he's just saying that, you know, sometimes you see these devotees have these problems, so you have to avoid them.
Sometimes
that's the best thing.
Sometimes it's better to be detached from the Guru. Sometimes better to be detached, you know. Let us even wish good, the good in their heart for them, but we want to be detached. That is the best mode. That's what I think is better. We'll be detached, but we love them and we think that they should be happy and pray to Krishna for their welfare. That is the only way we'll be detached. Not too much attachment. No, attachment is a cause of confusion. Even if you go too much close with the devotees and you talk all your personal things to them and then start having problems, better to be detached and be attached to Krishna and just pray for everybody. So that's the best thing.
Yeah, that's true. Any other points? Okay. So the way that Kapila began the chapter is that he spoke of mixed devotional service, or conditioned devotional service. this is devotional service which is affected by the modes of material nature. Now, in verse 11 and 12, he speaks about pure devotional service. One is the state of transcendental consciousness, or devotional service which is in Shuddha Sattva. And then we'll go from verses 11 to 19. And in the verses after 11 and 12, then he speaks about the favorable qualities or the favorable items of devotional service which must be cultivated. In order to reach the platform of pure devotional service, then we must cultivate particular qualities and particular items in devotional service. So he gives a very thorough list here, which we must meditate upon and adopt and adapt into our consciousness and into our lives as devotees. Now, these purports which Prabhupada writes in this section are very long, so you're expected to study them in your own time, because you can't go into them in a lot of detail in the class. Prabhupada's purports are very long at this point, like that. So all of you are going to have to study it. You will be examined. This chapter is extremely important. So far, now Kapila Devi is giving. Now in this chapter, he's directly speaking about the qualities of bhakti, whereas previously he spoke about qualities of Ashtanga and qualities of Sankhya, like that, which, as Prabhupada points out, it is devotional service, it leads to devotional service. But now he's speaking about pure devotional service. He's not speaking about some mixed devotional service. Now it's pure devotional service. So these qualities are directly applicable to those who are practicing bhakti yoga. Very important qualities. So we should study these. This chapter is very important, and you'll need to learn this chapter very well for your next exam. So you have to study this 29th chapter very nicely. And you'll have to study all these qualities very carefully also, because we can't go into them. We can't go to the purports too much detail. There's just too much there to cover in this class like that.
The KMV
is for the next exam. Some of the students felt that some of the KMVs in the last couple of sections, some of the verses they found not to be so relevant. So I did look at them, I did agree with that to a certain degree. So what I think we'll do, what one of the students suggested, is that if there's some verses there which may not be so relevant, then maybe then we will add some Brahma Samhita verses. Like that. Hands up if you think that is a good idea. Hands up high, so I can. Brahma Samhita, it's one book by local monk.
With translations,
the translations are very big. Just put up your hand first and we'll talk about the practicalities. Hands up if you think Brahma Samhita is some good verses.
Only the
words
is okay.
No, it has to be both,
should it have to be verbatim?
Well, Prabhu, I have other suggestions. You know, we had a talk which we did with it. I don't even remember the previous. So it's good to repeat the important ones. It would give us like 5, 10 or 8 and choose 3. So that's a really good
suggestion.
I forgot all of that.
No.
First canto, second chapter. All the important verses. Hands up if you think that's a good idea. Go for it, don't confuse them. Okay, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to start now, and I don't know what to do.
Just give 11
to
the same
translation.
Just give
Lokas
11
to
the same section.
Okay, this is what I'm
going to
do.
Verses only, not translation. We can make our own words, not verbatim.
Help me, huh? Why are you just cause problems? I'm trying to get some help here. Get some practical advice.
No change.
We'll see what Krishna reveals at the end of at the end of the class. I'm not sure what to do. Okay. Okay. So now let's begin verses 11 to 19. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada makes many, many points in the purport. One, the first point that he makes is that the nature of pure devotional service, it is it is motivated by Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem means love for Krishna. This is the motivation. This is how to understand what is pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means you're acting out of love for Krishna. Well, because you love Krishna, that is why you serve Krishna. So that is pure devotional service. This is what the Bhagavatam is teaching. And this will be shown as the Bhagavatam goes on more and more and more. And it culminates in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, where we see the Krishna's most intimate devotees, his most attached devotees serving. So this is how to understand devotional service. It's motivated by love for Krishna. Prabhupada points out that Krishna is attractive to the pure devotees because he is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. A devotee is not attracted to material relationships because the material relationships are affected by the modes of nature. So a devotee loses attraction to them. And then a devotee only becomes attracted to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is situated in Shuddha Sattva. He's in pure goodness. There's no contamination of the modes. So therefore he becomes very attractive. Just like at the farm, then you know, when I go to brush my teeth in the morning, go to the bathroom, then I listen to, at the moment listening to Radhanath Swami speaking Gaur Mandala Parikram. So he's speaking all about Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So they're very attractive. Why are they attractive? Because Mahaprabhu is not affected by the modes of nature. Because all of his pastimes and all of his dealings and all of his qualities are on the platform of Shuddha Sattva. So for a devotee, it's naturally attractive. And Krishna is attractive, Mahaprabhu is attractive because they are situated in Shuddha Sattva. A devotee is not so attracted to the modes of material relationships based on the modes. That's why we're not attracted to our family and our friends. You know, from the material life that we had previously. People can't understand. They think, what happened to you? You used to like us. And now, it's not that we don't like them, but we just can't relate to it anymore. You know, we're not attracted because it's all based on the modes of nature. And they think, what's wrong with you? You've changed, you're so strange now. We can't relate to you anymore. What is wrong? But it's because we're not attracted to the modes. We don't want to relate on that platform. It's distasteful for us. Right? So for a materialist, it's very strange. But for a devotee, we're only attracted to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. We want to hear pastimes which are situated on the transcendental platform. And the Bhagavatam, the pastimes in the Bhagavatam, are all amala, which means they're above the modes of nature. They don't deal with the modes of nature. So the verse says that the attraction that the devotee has towards Krishna is just like the Ganga flowing towards the ocean. The Ganga flows towards the ocean, it is unstoppable. It is not possible to stop the Ganga. The only person who ever stopped the Ganga was in the Mahabharata. What was his name?
Shiva,
we can say, yeah. But there was one personality called Gangeya.
Bhishma.
Bhishma, who is Gangeya. He is the son of Ganga. One time, Maharaj Shantanu, who was traveling, and when he came across the Ganga, normally you see the Ganga is flowing, and Ganga was not flowing. And he thought, what has happened? So then he went up, traveled up the Ganga, and then he saw Bhishma had shot so many arrows across the Ganga, he had actually built a dam to stop the Ganga from flowing. Right? So that is exceptional. Because Maharaj Shantanu, he prayed to have a child who was as powerful as Balaram. So Bhishma was as powerful as Balaram. Well, that's why he could do this. But generally, the principle is the Ganga cannot stop. The Ganga is so powerful it just flows to the ocean. And pure devotional service cannot be stopped by any material condition or any material situation. When we're actually pure in our devotional service, when we have love for Krishna, that love cannot be stopped by any material situation. At this point in time, sometimes our devotion becomes disrupted, or our attitude towards Krishna becomes disrupted by certain material circumstances. But one who has love for Krishna is so powerful and so strong, that is the nature of prema or pure devotion, that one cannot stop, one's devotional service cannot be stopped by any material circumstance. That is pure devotional service. So in the second paragraph, then Prabhupada defines pure devotional service based on Rupa Goswami's definition. No, that's Same thing. But Rupa Goswami's definition is the perfect definition of pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam. That is the perfect definition of uttama bhakti or kevala bhakti or shuddha bhakti. Pure devotional amala bhakti. It is pure devotional service. So the definition of pure devotional service is that it does not have any cause. And the devotee does not consider any benefit. Just like in the material world, everything has a motivation. We don't do anything, even in devotional service, when you look at it. You know, we don't really do things without motivation a lot of the time. You know, there has to be some motivation. It's not just because we're doing it just to please Krishna. Right? There's all these motivations in our mind, and you know, I'll make advancement and all these things. So this is not pure devotional service. This is based on some motivation like that. Or there'll be some benefit there. Okay, I'll do this service because at the end of the day I'll get this. Okay? We'll serve out all the devotees the feast because at the end then we can sit down and we can enjoy the feast. Like that. So we have all these kind of motivations there. But that's not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is uncontaminated by the motive of nature. Anyabhilashita shunya. It means that everything is shunya. It means it is devoid of other motivations. That is pure devotional service. So this is what the Bhagavatam is teaching. It's teaching pure devotional service. The nature of pure devotional service, as the Bhagavatam says, is ahoituki apratihata. Ahoituki means unmotivated, and apratihata means uninterrupted. So Prabhupada says that pure devotional service means that the devotee engages in devotional service 24 hours a day. Now, if you look at our devotional service, it runs far short of that. I know if I look at my devotional service, you know, most of the time I sleep about 7 hours a day, so that's already 7 gone. It's not 24. Right. Not even close. 24. You know, practically a quarter or a third is already lost. Like that. Srila Prabhupada did not sleep. He would rest for 1 or 2 hours, but the service did not stop. The service continued within the consciousness. Okay? A pure devotee does not lose his consciousness of Krishna. He's always conscious of Krishna. That is pure devotional service. Then you transcend the effects of the motive of nature. Like that. So we're not even close to pure devotional service at this point. So. Our only hope is that we can pray that Guru and Garanga deliver us. That's the only hope.
How much material motives?
Yeah.
I did this and all this ego.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Very bad. Very bad.
It's embarrassing. Any questions or comments so far? Okay.
What relevance is this section to the Sankhya philosophy?
It is.
Sankhya is practically ended.
Is what?
The analysis is over.
No, it's not, because in the next few chapters it goes into the birth and all those things. So you analyze the material energy. This is Sankhya Yoga, because as Prabhupada said in chapter 25, he said Sankhya Yoga means devotional service. And the way chapter 25 began was that Kapiladeva began to teach devotional service. It's the first thing he taught, practically speaking. So it is. It means that the way to extricate the soul from the material energy is by devotional service. But Sankhya means it's a very philosophical system in which one analyzes the difference between matter and spirit in order to become detached and to support one's devotional service. But Sankhya Yoga is devotional service, not something separate. We call it Sankhya, but actually it's Bhakti. But now because Bhakti is the way to extricate ourselves from the material energy. Now he's very intricately he's analysing Bhakti like that. Because he's spoken a lot about detaching ourselves up until now, but now he's speaking more about Bhakti like that. This chapter is really where he speaks about pure devotional. This chapter is very important out of all this section. So it should be studied very carefully. Yeah.
Where Devaki is asking question also gives some pointers to that. Now in verse 2 of this chapter, she is saying, "My dear Lord, you have already explained the Sankhya system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophy."
Mm.
She asks the question in that way.
Mm.
The analysis is over now.
Yeah. Yeah, now she wants to hear more about devotional service. So what he's doing now is analyzing devotional service very deeply. He's doing it in a Sankhya type of way.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's analyzing devotional service. What is mixed? And now he's analyzing what is pure.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, now what are the elements of pure devotional service? And that's what the next verses are. Okay. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, salokya, sashti, samipya, sarupya, or ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Prabhupada says in the first paragraph that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Srimad Bhagavatam are teaching us what is pure devotional service. That's why Mahaprabhu favoured the Bhagavatam beyond any other scripture, because the Bhagavatam emphasises and explains pure devotional service above and beyond any other scripture. That is the purpose of the Bhagavatam, to establish Krishna and to establish pure devotional service to Krishna. So the Bhagavatam and Mahaprabhu are especially explaining in their teachings the process of pure devotional service. And everything Mahaprabhu said is based on the Bhagavatam, and it elaborates further upon the Bhagavatam. Okay. What is the nature of pure devotional service that Prabhupada quotes Mahaprabhu's fourth verse from the Chief Shastika? Nādanam, nādanam, nāsundari, kavitam, bā, jagat, isha, kamiye. Mama Jamani, Jamanishwari, Bhagavatar, Bhakti, Ohoituki, Twayi. Okay. So that is the nature of pure devotional service. That Jamani means birth after birth. That is pure devotional service. Even if I come back birth after birth, that is not my concern. My concern is devotional service. liberation, and that's what this verse is teaching, liberation happens automatically for a devotee. He doesn't have to desire liberation. Automatically you get liberation. So pure devotional service means you do not even desire liberation. Yeah, you only desire devotional service. So if you take birth again and again, that is not your concern. You only desire to serve Krishna. So this shows us what is pure devotional service, and it also shows us where we are situated in terms of our consciousness. Because I know for myself, I'm very motivated by the desire to get out of this material world. You know, we have to be honest in our consciousness. You know, my desire is to get out of this material world because it's a place of suffering. Like that. That's a desire for liberation, but that's not pure devotional service. You know, because it says here, birth after birth after birth, I do not mind. You know, and when I hear this, you know, I do mind in my consciousness. You know, birth after birth, okay, I think, oh my God, again. You know, I have to come here again and do it again. You know, it's like,
but what about continuing devotional service over there?
Over where?
Over in
Vaikuntha
or in
Goloka.
Oh, over
there? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. It's here or
there, right?
I don't know.
Okay, that's the destination we aim for.
But the point is the devotee is so absorbed in serving Krishna, he does not mind whether he takes birth again or not. For him it's the same. That's the point. That's pure devotional service, as Mahaprabhu says. Jamane Jamanishwari Bhagavata Bhakti Ohoituki. I don't mind like that. That's pure devotional service.
Desire to see Krishna will be then. Darshan, we want to see the Lord.
Yeah, but Krishna comes automatically when one's a pure devotee. So a devotee doesn't have to worry about that. Krishna comes automatically.
Moksha
Lagu Takrut. It's
one of the characteristics.
Moksha Lagu Takrut. Yeah, what's
devotee derives the concept of
devotion. Yeah, that's advanced devotion. And that's what this verse also teaches. It says here that, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada says that ekatva, or the desire to become one with the Lord, is hellish for our devotees. This is established in the Nectar of Devotion in, is it the fourth chapter? I can't remember now. In one of the chapters, the early chapters, in chapter 4, it says that Bhakti Yoga derives the concept of liberation. And Rupa Goswami gives many verses that pure devotees do not desire to be liberated. And they did not desire to merge into Krishna. Hanuman was offered liberation or moksha by Lord Ram, and he said to Lord Ram, if this means that I cannot serve you, if it means merging, then he said that is hell to me. I have no desire to merge into you. I only desire to serve you. That's pure devotional service. So there's no ekatva, or there's no desire to merge, become one with the Lord. That is based on envy of the Lord. Okay.
We take our liberation because we are suffering. We are suffering because we are under the influence of the most of material nature. But once you become transcendental to them, you are not suffering anymore, and therefore you don't desire to be liberated because you are already free.
So I am a long way off.
Not so much.
No.
Not so much. By your mercy, I may attain it quickly.
But my creation is not superior to the nation of mine.
One of my godbrothers, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, he left his body, I think two and a half years back. So,
Maharaj's personal servant?
Maharaj's personal servant. So Maharaj was actually, when he was leaving his body, Maharaj was sitting next to him. And Maharaj was telling him about Krishna Leela so that he can enter the pastimes. And that time, you know, he told Maharaj that, I don't want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, I want to come back and serve you only. Please bless me like that. At the time of, with the pain of cancer, he was telling them. He didn't want to go back.
It
was a practical example we saw.
This is also Bhaktivinoda Thakur's personal servant. I think his name was Krishnadas, is it? Do you remember? His name? Krishnadas Babaji, I think. I can't remember. But his personal servant Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world, and not long after he left this world, then he also left, because his own desire was to serve Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he just left his body out of separation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's pure devotion. So,
the four types of, you know, liberation which I mentioned over here, do they relate to Vaikuntha? Just come back to Gopika?
No, it's not both. Both. But the Sarupa, which means you get the same form, in Vaikuntha it means literally the same. You know, you look like exactly, virtually exactly the same as the Lord. And Prabhupada says that the Lord has a pure characteristic. Sarupa and Goloka doesn't mean you look exactly like Krishna, but you get a similar form, Satchidananda Vigraha, two arms, like similar, but not exactly. Because in Vaikuntha their form is the same. It's just that the Lord has several distinguishing features, that's all. I might keep going because we're not going to finish otherwise. With this. If you have questions, ask me after class or something. Okay. It's such a deep section, this section, and the purports are so deep also, and so many points. It's not possible to cover everything, so you'll have to study it carefully. By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage, as is the Lord. So, the Prabhupada says in the purport that by pure devotional service, a devotee attains oneness with Krishna. But Prabhupada says that is not ekatva, because in the previous verse it was explained that this is not what the devotee achieves. The devotee gets oneness with the Lord, but that oneness means oneness in desire. So we are one with Krishna, but only one in desire. We don't desire to merge with Krishna. Our oneness is that we desire that whatever Krishna desires, whatever makes Krishna happy, that is what makes me happy. That is oneness. That is what it means to serve the spiritual master. Because when we serve the spiritual master, whatever the spiritual master desires, that is what we desire. That is the pure devotional mentality, as we just heard about Stoka Krishna Prabhu. So this is pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means that whatever Krishna desires, whatever the Guru desires, that is what I desire. Not something separate. That is not pure. If there's anything separate, then that is not pure devotional service. And that's not really love. If there's some separate interest, it's not really love. That's why in the material world, it's not, the relationships are not really love. Even though everyone says, I love you. But it's not really love, because love means there's no separate interest. But who has separate interest in this world?
But Krishna wants everybody to come back home, which is his desire, and which is our desire as well, which becomes Salokya then, right? And then a pure devotee doesn't want Salokya.
Yes, so a pure devotee does not desire the four kinds of liberation. He doesn't desire them, but he gets them automatically. Krishna gives them to him, but he does not desire them. That's pure devotional service. That's the point. A devotee must execute his now. From verse 15 to 19, then, Kapila Deva now explains the items which are necessary for devotees to cultivate pure devotional service. In order to achieve pure devotional service, we must cultivate these qualities or these items of devotional service. A devotee must execute his prescribed duties which are glorious without material profit. Without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one's devotional activities. So a devotee, as the verse says, a devotee must execute his prescribed duties which are glorious without material profit. So the Bhagavatam is teaching whatever your position is, you can become pure by offering the results purely to Krishna. As the Prabhupada gives many examples in the purport, that In Vrindavan, you have Nanda Maharaj, who is a Vaishya, externally appears to be a Vaishya. And then you have Vidura, who appears to be a Shudra, right? And then you have pure Brahmanas, right? Pure Kshatriyas, like the Pandavas. But the point is, it does not matter what your position is. It doesn't matter what your nature is. Pure devotional service is not about anything external. It is about the love that you have for Krishna in your heart. But you must perform your duty for Krishna. That's the point. You do what you have to do, but you do it for Krishna. So if you're Brahminical, then you teach for Krishna. If you're a Kshatriya, then you administrate for Krishna. You organize for Krishna. If you're a Vaishya, then you make money for Krishna. If you're a Shudra, then you do menial services to assist others, to assist the other devotees to serve Krishna. But the point is, if your heart is pure, then you become a pure devotee. It's not that you have to become a Brahmana to become a pure devotee. Right? Anyone can be a pure devotee from any situation in life. That is the point. That's Mahaprabhu's teaching. Yeah? That's what is emphasized by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion.
Does
it
translate as Karma Yoga, Prabhu?
Say it again.
Karma Yoga? Which Karma Yoga?
Yeah, it is in the beginning, but it heads towards Bhakti. Yeah, it's gradually Sakam, Nishkam, and then Bhakti Yoga. Like that. So then Prabhupada, Kapila Dev says that without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one. So without excessive violence, so Prabhupada points out in the purport, he elaborates in the last three paragraphs, that a devotee does not commit excessive violence. It means that
eating vegetables.
Only eating vegetables, yeah. Because it is, as the Vedas say, jivo, jivasya, jivanam. Everyone must commit violence. You must take one life in order to sustain your life. One living entity is food for another. That is the nature of the material world. But for us as devotees, then Krishna teaches us that we take the life of the vegetable. And it is not comparable to taking the life of the animal. You cannot compare the violence. The violence is minimal. Right? You kill the plant or the vegetable when you take it like that. But that violence is not comparable. And then Krishna says that violence is acceptable if you offer the offering to me. Then I will clear you of that karma. If it is not offered to Krishna, then you must accept some karma, even if you're a vegetarian. Right? But if you offer it to Krishna, then there's no karma of that. So that is the system. So we must perform our activities without violence. Which means we offer everything to Krishna, and then there's no violence of that. Now, he speaks about some very deep devotional items. The devotee should regularly see my statues in the temple, touch my lotus feet, and offer worshipable paraphernalia and prayer. He should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness and see every living entity as spiritual. So, Prabhupada explains in the first paragraph that a devotee who is advanced, he sees the deity as non-different from Krishna. And there are many examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita of devotees who saw the deity as non-different from Krishna and the deity reciprocated with them. What are the examples in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Shakshigopal. Right? Shakshigopal was the witness, Gopal. Two Brahmanas went to Vrindavan. And one Brahmana was very old, so the younger Brahmana helped him walk all the way to Vrindavan. And then he said in front of the deity, he said that I will give you my daughter in marriage when we return back to our home, because you've done so much service to me. But when they returned back, and then the old Brahmana informed his relatives, his wife and his family, of what he had promised in front of the deity, they said, no, we cannot give our daughter to such a simple person. So then when the young Brahmana came to him and said, now it is time for the marriage, he said, no, I cannot give. Like that. And he said, but you promised. He said, no, I do not remember this. So then he walked all the way back to Vrindavan, and he said to the Gopal Diti, he said that you were the witness. So now you must hold this word of honor. You must help me now. So he said, then please come as my witness. And because he had pure devotion, then the Diti said to him, I will come with you, but as long as you do not look back. So then he began to walk all the way back to Ramuna, back towards Orissa. So then he was walking and walking for thousands of kilometers. And then finally, when he got very close, then he heard that the deity was no longer walking. He could hear the ankle bells of the deity. So when he could not hear the ankle bells anymore, he turned around and he looked, and then the deity had stopped. And then he had to install the deity at that place. So they installed the deity there, Shakshi Gopal, who was still there. And then they brought the elderly Brahmin and so forth to see the deity. And when he saw the deity come all the way from Vrindavan, then immediately he realized his mistake and gave the daughter in marriage. And that deity is still there, Shakshi Gopal, just near Jagannath Puri.
On the way from Puri to Bhuvaneshwar.
Yeah, in between. So there's that deity, and then there's also, which other deity also showed? Yeah, Jagannath Pasan's there also. And there's Chiachor Gopinath, who's in Ramuna, who's also very close to that place, who stole the sweet rice from Mother Vindrapuri and hid it behind the curtain like that. So these, this is how a pure devotee sees the deity. He sees the deity as non-different from Krishna. And when you see the deity like that, then the deity reciprocates in this way. Krishna fully manifests and he reciprocates. He reveals that I am fully present. Prabhupada points out you can talk to him and he can walk for you. All those things are manifest. When your devotion is pure, then Krishna is not a statue, but that he is a person. Like that. And then it also says that Kapila Dev instructs that we must see every living entity as equal. We must see every living entity as equal and offer respect. That is the symptom of pure devotion. Pure devotion means that we do not see one as less than one as greater. But we see all of the entities as part and parcel of Krishna, and we offer respect to every living entity. That is pure devotion. That is the vision of a pure devotee. Not that. It also says, the Pillai points out, patience, Prabhupada is the end of the purport. And Prabhupada also mentions that we, and this actually, that'll be in the next verse, so we'll mention that, but Prabhupada says that we have to develop great patience. In the Sanskrit it mentions sattvena. Right? Sattvena means in the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada points out that this means, Sridhar Swami points out that this means, I think dharyena. Dharyena means patience. So this is the symptom of pure devotional service. Prabhupada makes a very nice comment at the end of the paragraph. He says, one should not give up the execution of devotional service because of one or two attempts of not being successful. One must continue. Sri Rupa Goswami also confirms that one should be very enthusiastic and execute devotional service with patience and confidence. Patience is necessary for developing the confidence that Krishna will certainly accept me because I am engaging in devotional service. One has to execute devotional service according to the rules and regulations in order to ensure success.
That's one of the symptoms of one is confident.
Confident of receiving Krishna's. Yeah. So one is patient. This is the nature of a devotee. We have to be very patient. And when a devotee becomes advanced, he becomes very patient. And you have to be patient because it takes a long time. And that's the test. You know, if you don't become patient, if you don't become situated in goodness, right, and become more advanced and devoted, then you lose your enthusiasm. Because it's difficult to keep going year after year after year, and chanting and chanting and chanting. If you don't get a taste for the practice, for chanting and so forth, you don't continue. You know, just like how many senior devotees do you see around the temple? Not so many. Why is that? Because it's not easy to keep going. Right? Because unless you become very patient and actually on the spiritual platform, then you cannot continue to get a taste and deepen that taste and go further and further and further. But the symptom of a pure devotee is very patient because he's situated on a very advanced platform. The pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. So, Prabhupada points out in the purport, which is, I think, a verse from the Bhagavatam, that one should not see the acharya as ordinary. Do not think that the guru is an ordinary person. You must worship the spiritual master. You must worship the advanced devotees. Right? Do not think they are ordinary people. One who is pure in devotional service, or one who is advanced, then he offers worship to the guru. He offers worship to the advanced devotees. Because he understands their position. He understands their advancement in Krishna consciousness. So he does not think they're ordinary. Just like we have to be very careful of that tendency. Harishori Prabhu was Prabhupada's personal servant for a year and a half, from end of 75 till the beginning of 77. And after spending that much time with Prabhupada, and because it's a very demanding service, and you have to be very advanced to associate with a very advanced devotee. I mean, what to speak of Prabhupada? You know, it's just like, you know, to be Prabhupada's personal servant, you have to be very advanced. And he noticed near the end he was becoming a little disrespectful to Prabhupada, beginning to seem a little bit as an ordinary person, because, you know, Prabhupada was in a material body like us. And then sometimes you may think, well, you know, maybe he's just a little ordinary. So then some mentality was creeping in. He felt like he was committing some offences. So he said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I think it's better that I take up a different service now. And Prabhupada understood what was going on. Prabhupada said, yes, you should do some other service now. Like that. Because you have to be very careful not to see the guru, not to see the advanced Vaishnavas as ordinary. And that's why you have to be very careful when you associate with them, to always worship them, respect them, like that, and be very careful not to see them as ordinary, because otherwise you commit offences in your mind, like that. So many points here. Is everyone mind if we go for one more hour? Second. We won't. There's so many points, it's hard to cover everything. But we'll cover them. But we won't go for now, but we'll cover them. It says that one should be compassionate to the poor. So Prabhupada says this means spiritually poor. Right? We're not interested in just helping the poor on the material platform. We're interested in helping people become Krishna conscious. That is actually helping. And that was what ISKCON was established for. That's Prabhupada's vision of ISKCON. Not just to help poor people, but to help people who are suffering from the blazing fire of material existence. To help people become Krishna conscious. That is our purpose. That. And then, it says that, Kapila Dev says that one should make friendship with person who are equals. So this is what is necessary for us to remain devotees. If we are to remain devotees, we have to have deep friendships with our equals, with other devotees. Because if there are not deep friendships, you cannot sustain as a devotee. Prabhupada said to Burujan Prabhu, he said that we are social by nature. We are social animals. You can't be by yourself. You need friendships. If you don't have devotional friendships, you'll go back to material friendships. So you have to make friendship with your equals, right? And this means that you can intimately exchange things with them. You can intimately exchange your realizations with them. You can help each other become more Krishna conscious. So this is the way to deal with devotees who are equal in advancement in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So we read verse 18. A devotee should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his time in chanting the holy name of the Lord. His behavior should always be straightforward and simple. And although he is not envious but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. So the basic principles of spiritual life, of our devotional practice, is Shravanam, Kirtanam. It is hearing and chanting about Krishna. So Prabhupada says this is the basic principle of how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, one should automatically be attracted to hearing about Krishna, like that. This is how we advance as devotees, by hearing, by chanting. So these two things we have to cultivate a taste for. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. Everything is tested by how much taste we have to hear about Krishna and to chant about Krishna. In the beginning, sometimes devotees are a little passionate and they become more, have more taste for the external services. And that's okay, but in the long run, you have to develop a taste for hearing and chanting. Because if you don't get that taste for hearing and chanting, you can't maintain your enthusiasm because the material body slows down. And once it slows down, you can't do all that service that you may desire to do. So then what do? You have to have a taste for hearing and chanting. Otherwise, you can't continue in devotional service. And then Lord Kapiladev says that a devotee should be straightforward, simple and straightforward. That's the nature of a devotee. Devotees are not duplicitous. As Prabhupada says in the purport, they are not, as Prabhupada says, what's the word? It's like duplicitous or...
Diplomacy.
Yeah.
No, diplomacy.
Diplomacy, yeah, that's what Prabhupada says. So not diplomatic or not duplicit. That's not the nature of a devotee to be like that. Devotees are just straightforward. You get what you see with devotees. It's not that, you know, we have a hidden agenda or there's diplomacy there. You know, no, I'm treating you like this because I want to get this like that. Devotees don't act like that. And
it's straightforward in a diplomatic way, not to hurt someone.
Yeah, maybe like that. But the point is, in general, devotees, their general dealings is not that there are hidden agendas. Generally, the way we deal with each other is straightforward. Not that, you know, because devotees become very upset, you know, when, you know, you become very disappointed when one devotee is dealing with you, then you find out, oh, there's something else there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it becomes, and then you weaken your faith, and devotees are not like that.
You know. Also, I mentioned specifically about manipulation. Diplomacy has meaning manipulation for self-interest.
Okay. Yeah, so this has to be avoided by devotees. Then we're just straightforward with each other. You know, like you should be able to say to the devotee, what is it? You know, if the devotee has some problem or something, then what is it? And then we just speak openly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my spiritual master was, you know, very expert in this. You know, I mean, just he would just say things straight. You know, it wasn't any diplomacy or anything, just what needed to be said. And not that it was pleasant. Not that, you know, because he'd rather get to the point. What's the point? You know, what is it that we have to deal with here? Like that. So devotees are not, we don't hide things like that. It's just, it should be straightforward trust, right? Genuine trust based on straightforwardness and simplicity. And? Yeah. And Lord Kapila says that Asat Sangha Tyag, Mahaprabhu says, a devotee has to avoid the association of non-Vaishnavas. It's not that we disrespect non-devotees, but we cannot associate with them because they're in Maya. And if we associate with them, then our consciousness becomes contaminated. So it's not that we are disrespectful to them, but we cannot associate with them intimately, because it is detrimental to our Krishna consciousness. So Mahaprabhu says, a sat sangha tyag e vaishnava achar. A devotee's behavior is that he avoids non-devotional association. We'll read the last verse. When one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing of my transcendental quality. So this is the test of the Krishna consciousness. If we are Krishna conscious, we'll be automatically attracted to hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna. This is how we can see how advanced we are becoming. We should automatically be attracted. It says in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, in the beginning, in the first chapter, in the 11th verse, it says the process of and it says the process of devotional service, the Bhagavatam is teaching is Harinam Anukirtanam. And then in the third chapter of the second canto it explains that what is the effect of chanting in this way, hearing and chanting, is that when one chants, then tears automatically come from the eyes. One's heart melts and tears come from the mind in feeling for Krishna. That is love for Krishna, that is bhava or prema, like that. So this is what is being said here, that a devotee just automatically is enthusiastic. As soon as he hears about Krishna, he's attracted. He just wants to hear about Krishna. He just wants to chant about Krishna. And that is the test of our Krishna consciousness. We're becoming more attracted to hear and chant about Krishna. That is the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to love Krishna. So we'll stop here, and then next week we'll continue. And like I said, I think we will finish the third canto this year, which is a great relief for me, because I don't want to come back next year. Two chapters to go with it, but we will finish the third canto. As for your key memory verses, I will give you one. I'll give them to you next week. Okay. One of them will be from those three which I mentioned, and the other two I'll think about during the week and I'll give you something. Another verse or something. Three or four. Srila Prabhupada ki.